something that looked good on the resume, but, you know, I'm so old, I'm not passing out my resume anymore, so this is going to be something that's going to look good in an obituary.
A top industry award honors a longtime local, and the Bald Eagle Festival begins in Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more coming up. Sea Alaska will soon open a branch of its Lower 48 Information Technology subsidiary in a southeast Alaska village. It'll be small, employing only 3 or 4 people, but officials say it could be the first of several remote offices in the region. John Duncan is president and CEO of Managed Business Solutions, based in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
The plan is to launch a small satellite office, and this office would be leveraging whatever infrastructure and technology is resident in the village. And if the village or community is lacking that technology, we will actually bring the technology to them.
Managed Business Solutions has about 250 employees, but Duncan is the only Sea Alaska shareholder. He says his goal is to train and employ other shareholders who will telecommute from their hometowns. The company was formed in 1993 and conducts business worldwide. It offers data management, software development, staffing, and hardware services. Duncan says Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation for Southeast, bought a controlling share about 3 years ago.
Sea Alaska provides added benefits and strengths as we go to market in sectors such as the federal sector that gives a small disadvantaged business status, our 8A status, and then also our minority status in the Fortune 500 accounts, specifically the diversity top 50.
The company has not decided which village will get the remote office, but Duncan hopes to have it up and running by the new year. Sea Alaska CEO Chris McNeil says Managed Business Solutions holds potential for income as well as employment.
This is a growing area of our business. We're looking forward to the wide array of both services and customers that it can bring to its relationship with Sea Alaska.
The corporation has about 20,000 shareholders. Other subsidiaries are involved in timber, plastics, and gravel. It recently began a regional division that could develop oyster farming, berry picking, and other village-based businesses. Skagway Tourism Director Buckwheat Donahue's name is on this year's Denali Award from the Alaska Travel Industry Association. It's presented for outstanding leadership, professional excellence, and personal contribution to the Alaska travel industry.
Actually, you know, they give this to people, you know, to old people, and, you know, it's something that would look good on the resume, but, you know, I'm so old, I'm not passing out my resume anymore, so this is going to be something that's going to look good in an obituary.
Buckwheat's not that old, but has been tourism director in Skagway for more than a decade, bringing attention to the gateway to the Klondike with original ideas, beginning with the Ski Classic 25 years ago, to the more recent Egg Toss competition, which still has Skagway in the Guinness Book of World Records. The award was announced in Whitehorse at the annual ATIA convention.
I was actually sitting at a table just going over notes and what I still had to do before the conference ended. And I heard the speaker say that that this person won a watermelon seed spitting competition.
Which he did in the mid-1980s in Skagway.
And then I sort of looked up and went, I think they're talking about me. but that's when I started listening. And then they said, and that's why... That was one of the reasons that they gave me the Denali Award, right? And this is an honor. I mean, there are some heavyweights in the industry that have received this.
Winners are voted in from a list of nominations from across the state. The association says they passed their annual honor to Donahue for, well, there were a lot of accomplishments to choose from.
You know, they're talking about the walk, you know, the ski race, the paranormal symposium, right, you know, which... Who knows, maybe we'll bring that one back. The just overall believing in the tourism industry, right? You know, and wanting to see it move forward and protecting its image and things like that. I've tried to do that. And even though at times I've been in disagreement with them, it was nice of them to overlook some of those challenges. You know, anyway, ow, baby. It's a good little feeling, you know.
The annual Bald Eagle Festival started Wednesday in Haines, and more people are attending this year than ever before in the festival's 16-year history, some first-timers from as far away as Spain. 230 people signed up to attend the 16th annual Bald Eagle Festival going on this week, outnumbering last year by more than two dozen. But it's the 11 birds attending that organizers are even more enthused about. In the past year, the American Bald Eagle Foundation has expanded their facilities and grown their bird family to match, meaning 11 is the most birds in captivity that's ever attended the bird festival. Dan Hart with the foundation welcomed the two newest birds as they landed at the Haines Airport last weekend.
Today we're getting an eastern screech owl and a red-tailed hawk, both coming up from Auburn, Alabama, Auburn University's Raptor Rehab Center.
The red-tailed hawk is blind in one eye, an important organ for a predatory bird. The bird is healthy otherwise. The screech owl also lost use of one eye and has retinal degeneration in the other eye, meaning it can't be released into the wild.
Do you have any live birds on this one or is it on the other one?
Are you looking for a hawk?
A hawk and an owl, two of them.
All right.
On the birds, right?
Yeah, they're on the plane. There you go. You got them, great.
You know, all of our birds have come in this year, so we've been down here for every single bird, and we've got one more after this one, and then we'll be finally completed with all of our birds. So, yeah, it's like picking up grandkids or something, you know?
And it is like some kind of reunion for Hart. He was first introduced to the red tail he's about to pick up when he was training in Alabama.
When I was in training down there last winter, I met this red tail. And talked to Roy, who is their main eagle trainer down there, and Dr. Jamie Bella, who is the overseer of all of their rehab program. And so we told them we wanted an eastern screech owl, and they had several there, but most of them were able to be released back into the wild. So when they found this one, they immediately called and said, we have one if you're interested. And so, of course, we signed up for that. And we knew we wanted the red-tailed hawk last year, but, of course, as you know, we didn't have space to put them.
Five enclosed mews were completed over the summer at the Bald Eagle Foundation. That brings the total to nine mews altogether.
See how tiny that screech owl case is?
He's in there. He's the rust color. They come in gray colored and rust colored. He's a rust colored guy.
Once the two new birds move in, there's still vacancy for one more. But the final bird to fill out the family tree is not coming after all.
We had a raven scheduled to come because we feel like we have an obligation to our native brothers, the Tlinkits, because obviously we have the raven clan and the eagle clan. And so we planned to get a raven, and about 3 days before our raven was due to arrive here, we got a call saying that the raven had escaped its rehab facility, so obviously it was not in need of being rehabbed. So we got the bad news that we would no longer be getting a raven, so while we still have feelers out for a raven, ravens are extremely hard to come by.
The 16th annual Bald Eagle Festival started Wednesday in Haines and runs through the 14th, with events throughout the Chilkat Valley, including an eagle release in Clukwan on Saturday. More information at baldeaglefestival.org. The Taya Inlet Watershed Council has been through a lot of changes in the past year.
We don't have an executive director right now.
But that isn't stopping the organization from advancing a handful of projects that aim to clean up local waterways. A.J. Conley is the office administrator at the Taya Inlet Watershed Council in Skagway.
We did go through a fair amount of transition in the past year, and we decided to hold off on hiring another executive director until probably early spring, just because in the winter it's difficult to get enough hours to hire on a full-time person.
The group, which is behind familiar events like the Pat Moore Memorial Derby, river cleanups, the Earth Day Disc Golf Tournament, and weed pulls, functions largely with the help of volunteers, especially right now. They come in the form of board members, project workers, and committee members. The organization normally employs one person full-time and sometimes a summer intern. Bottom line, they have their hands full.
So projects that we're working on right now, we're working on the metal debris removal project, and that should be wrapping up within the next probably 2 weeks. And then we're also beginning to work on a stream setback ordinance, which is hopefully going to create discussion in Skagway about creating kind of a riparian buffer between the streams and rivers and where people begin to develop, both in Skagway and in Dyea.
Right now, a recently finished project has left the council with enough leftover firewood to auction it off to the people of Skagway.
So it's approximately 2 quarts. It will be cut, split, and delivered. And you can drop off your silent auction bid at the smoothie shop or Glacial Smoothies on 3rd Street or at Lemon Rose on 5th and State.
That wood is cottonwood, and the auction closes on Friday.
The money goes to support the Taya Inlet Watershed Council, and also the top bid will be matched by the National Forest Foundation as a donation to the Taya Inlet Watershed Council.
Grant money, private donations, and fundraisers account for most of the Taya Inlet Watershed Council's budget. Anyone interested in volunteering in Skagway can email them at taiywawatershed@gmail.com.
In the coming months, December, January, February, we're going to start looking at more opportunities, different projects. I've been going to different people in the community and talking to people in Juneau and just seeing kind of where the interest is and what people would like to see us work on next. So it's now is a really great time, actually, if people have an idea of what they would like the Taya Inlet Watershed Council to work on, to come and talk with us. They can come to a board meeting or they can just come down to the office or send us an email.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Thanks for listening.